As the presidential election approaches, one of the primary talking points is implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Healthcare is always a hot-button issue, and just last year, many politicians were concerned about the other end of the health spectrum, death.
Were you surprised when the so-called death panels suddenly reappeared on Christmas Eve through a decision of an unelected bureaucrat?
The death panels. You see bureaucrats running amok.
Politicians what are you talking about, death panels? You're talking about the healthcare
reform? End-of-life care. You have these agencies.
Yeah, this is unbelievable.
The whole discussion of how people deal when they're dealing with terminal illness and having control of their lives, having a humane ending, is something doctors have not been trained to deal with, and certainly people just in general have had trouble with.
After a political firestorm, the Obama administration had to cancel plans for Medicare to reimburse doctors for advanced care planning. In other words, end-of-life discussions. It's a controversial topic for politicians to navigate, and it's not easy for patients either. Whether or not we're ready to talk about death, a team of local physicians at UCSF is resuscitating the conversation with a new tool they've developed to better predict mortality. KLW's Erica Mu reports. And a note to our listeners, we've changed the name of the patient in this story for privacy reasons.
It's a busy Monday morning at the San Francisco Veterans Association Medical Center.
Are you recording?
Okay, I am just starting.
A team of doctors gathers in the lobby.
I'm Alex Smith.
I'm Catherine Aragon.
I'm Sarah Murray.
Alex Smith and Catherine Aragon are palliative care physicians with the University of California, San Francisco, and the SFVA. Sarah Murray is their intern. They're on their way to see a patient, Bill Jones.
Who's a gentleman in his 60s who has a form of cancer that's slow growing. The major issues we're seeing him for are pain. And in the past, he had confusion. That's cleared up.
As we walk to Jones's room, we pause by the elevators to discuss his case.
We actually used e-prognosis to estimate this gentleman's prognosis about a week ago. Was that a week ago? Right. And we found, do you remember what we found? We could do it again right now, actually.
Doctors usually rely on their experience when offering a patient their prognosis, especially patients who are suffering from multiple illnesses. But these doctors are doing things a little differently.
Let's just check. So I'm just pulling out my iPhone here and opening up ePrognosis. And
ePrognosis is a website developed by Smith and a team of researchers. They're currently testing an app of the site. The tool uses existing indices to help physicians with the complicated task of estimating life expectancy. The ePrognosis app prompts Smith with a series of questions like,
does he have shortness of breath?
Does he have heart failure?
Does he leave more than 25% of his food uneaten?
Smith and Aragon spend about 5 minutes tapping in responses.
What is your guess without ePrognosis,
without
this tool?
ePrognosis, it's 6 months to a year.
After answering several questions, ePrognosis spits out an answer.
Okay, so I got 10 points.
69%.
What does that mean? 10 points, 69%?
69% risk of 1 year mortality.
In other words, ePrognosis has calculated, as Smith guessed, that Jones probably has between 6 months and a year to live.
ePrognosis sort of confirmed your intuition.
That's right. So to confirm the clinical judgment.
Which isn't always the case.
Doctors take their training and their professionalism very seriously. They really don't like being wrong. And whenever you make predictions about the future, you're almost guaranteed to be wrong sometimes.
That's Dr. Sei Lee, geriatrician and assistant professor at UCSF and SFVA. He's one of the authors of ePrognosis. When it comes to predicting death, Lee says, physicians aren't just sometimes wrong. They're frequently wrong.
Doctors, when they use their clinical intuition to estimate life expectancy for a patient, have a tendency to be overly optimistic and estimate that, on average, a given patient will live at least two times longer than, on average, what the patient does end up surviving to.
And that miscalculation can lead to bad medical decisions. Physicians might approve risky tests for frail patients who likely won't live to see the benefits of those tests. And it can lead to worse quality of life at the end of life, Lee says.
One of the things that we are struggling with in this country is that patients are not entering hospice until very late. And on average, that time can be as short as a week or two before death, which is really not enough time to maximally relieve symptoms and really support the family.
E-prognosis can't predict a patient's death with 100% accuracy. Nothing can. But combined with a physician's intuition, the tool can help inform end-of-life conversations with patients, if they want to have them.
It's certainly not an easy topic to think about, but in my work as a doctor, I feel like so much of the heartache and hardship that comes at the time of death are because things were not well prepared beforehand. Things that needed to be said weren't said. Those things could have been avoided if there had been a more frank discussion about life expectancy and prognosis up front.
Back at the SFVA nursing home, Dr. Aragon is attending to patient Bill Jones while Dr. Smith and Dr. Murray look on. Jones looks grizzled and grayed, and his speech is a little garbled from the cancers in his throat and head. But overall, he's clear-minded and upbeat.
How are you doing this morning?
Not too bad. You know, I mean, there's been good days and bad days. The symptoms change a lot on this thing. They change almost every day or two. So. The other night, I thought it was going to happen. I had the feeling that if I started to go out and I had the strength to like summon a nurse, that I would want to be kept alive at least one more night.
You know, as you were bringing up the concern about dying. I wondered, has anyone ever talked to you, or have you ever kind of wondered how much time you may have?
Oh, yeah. It's, now it could be weeks, could be months. It could be tonight.
Would you like to know kind of what we think as your doctors, how much time you have? Would that be beneficial?
Yeah, it might be.
So we never have an exact number. You know, none of us have a crystal ball to say how much time you're going to have here.
Yeah.
And we can never predict something that just suddenly happens.
Yeah.
I think if things kind of continue the way they are, I could see you living for 6 months or a little bit more.
Yeah.
Can I ask, what things do you worry about in terms of dying?
Right now, practically nothing. I've got my money in order. I'm probably going to be one of the few people on the planet who can, like, leave an inheritance to his mother, because my mother's still alive. I've been, you know, talking to ministers and priests and people in the church. I don't think I'm going to hell, so if you believe in that sort of stuff, I think I'm just the pain is the thing I fear the most, I think.
Aragon and Jones talk a while longer. Afterwards, I meet with the physicians in a conference room down the hall.
How do you guys think that went?
I think it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely is more. You get a variety of what people are willing to like talk about when they're near the end of life or how comfortable they feel. It's hard because the goal is you want to tell someone that they're going to get better.
I think what is clear is that doctors have not been well trained in this historically.
Again, Dr. Sei Lee of UCSF. Despite trends of the past, he says that some medical schools are starting to prepare young doctors to conduct end-of-life conversations, and tools like e-prognosis can help. The site's been active for 2 months and received about 500,000 page views in its first week. Meanwhile, at the SFVA, Bill Jones is planning for the last few months of his life. He isn't accepting any more chemo. He says he doesn't know what kind of a vegetable he'd be if he continued treatment. Instead, Jones is spending the rest of his days in hospice care at the SFVA Community Living Center. And that might make his last few months a little more livable. In San Francisco, I'm Erica Mu for Cross Currents.